We're here on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph in Bab Metzia. I'm going to start with the Sugya of Pshita, which if you count up from the bottom of the Amud, is approximately 12 lines. The Gemara says the following. Pshita, we don't have any question about the following scenario. E Omar Le Balabayis Bitlasa. If the Balabayis told the agent who is hiring the workers that he's only willing to pay them at a rate of tlos of 3 zuzim for a day's work, but the agent went ahead and told the workers that the Baal HaBayis was offering to pay at a rate of 4 zuzim a day, and the workers responded, kimo sha'amar Baal HaBayis. Whatever the Baal HaBayis said, that's the nature of our agreement. Is then daitayu iluye. Certainly what they had in mind is the higher rate of 4 zuzim. And therefore, since the agent, in this case the middleman, hired them at 4 zuzim, that's what they expect to be paid. They cannot demand 4 zuzim from the Baal HaBayis, because the Baal HaBayis himself only agreed to pay a maximum of 3 zuzim. However, they can collect that 4th zuz from the agent in a case where he said, Scharchem alai, I'll pay you your wages. If he didn't say Scharchem alai, then Ein lehem ela olav tairomos. Then they only have an Erev Yom Kippur claim against the agent, because they could say, look, if we would have known that the Baal HaBayis only agreed to 3, we would have tried to find a different Baal HaBayis, a different employer who would be willing to pay us 4, a little bit above the going rate. We relied on what you said. We thought that, in all being trustworthy, you told us exactly as the Baal HaBayis said it, and therefore we, relying on you, expected to get 4 zuzim, and therefore we agreed to do this work. And now, lo and behold, we're stuck with only 3 zuzim. So we have a tyromus against you. And basically, what the Gemara is pointing out is that when the workers respond by saying Kimosha Omar Baal HaBayis, in this case, where they're hoping to get, you know, they're hanging in there, so to speak, holding out for 4 zuzim, then what they mean to say is that we trust you to have accurately told us exactly what the Baal HaBayis agreed to pay. In other words, we're not going to assume that you falsely presented what the Baal HaBayis said. So in any event, in this case, which the Gemara calls Pshita, the agent offers a higher wage than what the Baal HaBayis was willing to pay. And when the Paul in respond, Kamosha Omar Baal HaBayis, we assume that this was an excitement on their part, a sort of a hope and a faith that they would receive 4 zuzim, which is above the going rate. In other words, what they were really saying was that we trust you to be accurately reporting what you heard from the Baal HaBayis. And the reason for that is because the Polim want to receive 4 zuzim, and if the agent said that that's what the agreement was, that's what they want. And that gives them the ability to claim from the Baal HaBayis, from the agent, that extra zuz. If, again, he said Scharchem alai, which means he, the agent, will have to pay them that extra zuz out of his pocket. The Baal HaBayis will pay 3, and the agent will pay 1 zuz, all told 4 zuzim. Otherwise, if the agent did not say Scharchem alai, he's not willing to pay them out of his pocket, and he never agreed to do so, then they only have against this agent Taromis. They can't force them to pay the 4th zuz. Okay, so that's the clear case. What's the safek case? Ella, Here's the Safi case. E Amar Le Balabais Be'arba. The Balabais had agreed to pay above the going rate for these workers and pay for a day's work for Zuzim. And now the agent, instead of saying for Zuzim, Azal Iu, he went ahead, Amar Lehu Betlasa, and he told them that the Balabais is offering only 3 Zuzim. Again, probably the psychology here is that the hiring worker, this agent in between, is trying to show the Balabais that I got you a great deal. And that'll, you know, make him worthy of some sort of a bonus or so. Once again, the response is identical to the first case on the part of the workers. And the Pol and the Amri, they say, Kama di Sha'omar Balabais, we accept whatever the Balabais, whatever the employer had actually said. And here the Gemara vacillates as to how to interpret the words of the Paulim. Shall we say, this is possibility number one, Adipura Didei Kasamchi. Once again, we want to assume that they're trusting and they have total faith in the agent, and the agent's word was that they would be paid 3. And therefore, the workers agreed to work at the rate of 3. The Amri lay, and in effect, when they said the words "Kimo Shomer Palabayis," the workers really meant "Behem Nislan." You're trustworthy in our eyes. The Hachi Omer Palabayis, meaning that that's exactly what the Palabayis said, and therefore they agreed to work at the rate of 3 Zuzim. Once again, there's no question that there's a taromas against the, in this case, quite clearly a taromas against the hiring worker, this agent, the go-between, because he tricked them and lowered their salary. And as a result of the fact that they accepted the terms as he as he communicated and he's transmitted them from the name of the Balabais, the employer, they are now boxed in to accept the wages of 3. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps what they meant the workers were, Kimosh Amar Balabais, in this case, since they were holding out for a higher wage, and they thought maybe it crossed their mind that maybe this agent is cheating them out, he's lowering the price, is Adibura de Balabais Kasamchi. What they wanted to really say was, we don't trust you. We think that maybe the Balabais was offering something above the going rate, and that's the amount that we would like to accept in this agreement. And since both the employer, the Balabais, and the workers, the Poland, they both agreed to 4 Zuzim in this case, therefore the Balabais will pay 4 Zuzim. In other words, when this go-between guy, this agent as I call him, lowered the amount that the Balabais said, it could be Kamash Omer Balabais. What the workers were saying was that forget about what you're offering us, we accept whatever the Balabais is saying, because they're really hoping that maybe, just maybe, the Balabais offered them more, a higher rate above the going rate, and therefore they would like to be paid, and they're hoping to be paid in their dreams for Zuzim. If that's what they meant, then they have a right to claim for Zuzim from the Balabais, because the Balabais himself agreed to pay for Zuzim. And again, just to summarize the difference between the Pshita case and the Boy case, in the Pshita case, where the agent jacked up the price, there when they said, Kimosh Omer Balabais, they were really, in effect, saying that we trust you to accurately transmit to us what the Balabais agreed to, because again, they're holding out for the extra Zuz. Unfortunately, the Balabais never, unfortunately from the perspective of the Paulim, the Balabais never agreed to pay that higher rate above the going rate of 4 Zuz, so they'll never be able to collect the 4th Zuz unless the hiring agent, he himself, accepted upon himself to pay their salary, and therefore Schar Chamolai has to pay the extra Zuz. In the second case, again, the Gemara wants to hold out the possibility that maybe the Paulim, when they said Kamadi Ashomar Balabais, they were holding out for some sort of a hope to get the higher rate, as we saw in the Pshita case. But in this particular scenario, the higher rate would mean that they don't trust the hiring agent. They really suspect that maybe the higher agent is cheating them. And in this case, they had in mind, according to one side of the Gemara, to work for 4 zuzim, which is exactly the amount that the Baal Bais agreed to pay, and that's what they'll collect. Or should we say once again, that just like in the Peshitta case, the Paul had never entertained the possibility that the hiring agent was cheating them. They had total faith, in a very naive way, believing, as people do believe in hiring workers, that he told them the truth, and therefore they agreed to pay to work for the lower rate. Toshma, the Gemara says, let's learn a sugya in Masechta Gittin. There too we're dealing with a case of some sort of an agent, of a shliach. And the question will be whether or not the Baal in a case, because this is a case where she, the Isha HaMisgaresh, sent the shliach to the Baal to receive her get. When the Baal says to the shliach, Kemosha Amra HaIsha, what did he mean by that? Is he again, is he expressing his trust in the shliach to be accurately transmitting exactly what he heard from the Isha? Or is he saying that perhaps, you know, you're fudging it, you're fabricating it, and the truth lies in what she said, and that's what I accept. So now we'll see if we can flesh out some of the details of that scenario. Here's what a woman says to the shliach. Hava li giti, which means, don't be lazy, bring the get back to me. You are nothing more than a shliach lo locha. Now keep in mind that she, the Isha Miskaresh, has no power, no koach, no authority to set and to appoint a shliach lo locha. That's something that the Baal has to appoint. So in this case, all she's doing is basically she's sending this shliach as a candidate for the Baal to appoint the shliach as his shliach lo locha. Now you can imagine that if there's a great distance between the Baal, where he's located, and the Isha, where she's located, the shliach, if he's a little bit tight on time, or he's lazy by nature, he doesn't have any vested interest. He's not excited to have to schlep the get from Yehupitz all the way back to the Isha. He's going in two directions. Imagine a transatlantic flight or a flight to Australia back and forth. That's not something that he is excited about. So what does the shliach do? He shows up in front of the Baal, and instead of telling the Baal that he, the Baal, would have to appoint him as a shliach lo locha, because that's not something that the shliach is excited to do, he says, quote, V'ishtecha omra is kabel li gite. He presents himself as if he were appointed by the Isha as a shliach le kabol. So again, keep in mind that when a woman, a miskareshes, appoints a shliach, her power to appoint a shliach is to replace her yad. The shliach becomes yad arichta, a replacement of her yad, and he becomes what's called a shliach lekabbalah. Now, the advantage from the shliach's point of view of serving as a shliach lekabbalah is that he doesn't have to bring the get back to the Isha, but rather, since his yad is her yad, the very moment, the very split second that the get is handed into his hand, the hand of the shliach, insofar as he's a shliach lekabbalah appointed by the Isha, she is megureshes. If the get itself goes up in smoke, that's fine. So therefore, even though the Isha did not appoint the shliach as a shliach lekabbalah, the shliach here does not represent the Isha. He was sent by the Isha as a candidate for the Baal to appoint the shliach as a shliach leholacha. But nevertheless, the shliach himself misrepresented himself to the Baal and presented himself as if he had been appointed as a shliach lekabbalah, and that's what he told the Baal. Well, what happens now? The Hu Omer, what did the Baal respond? As we saw before, the workers respond to the agent in between. But what did the Baal respond when the agent appeared and presented himself as a shliach lekabbalah? You guessed it, Hu Omer. He said the same words that we saw in our sugya, Helech Kemosha Amra. Which again, at the face of it, sounds like I trust her, and I'm not so sure I trust you, Mr. Shliach. And when the Baal says to the Shliach, this get is given to you, Mr. Shliach, as she had instructed, is Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Bar from Rav, in the name of Rav, we have a tradition, Afilu Higia Get Liyoda Eino Megureshes, which means that the Baal, very naively, trusts the words of the Shliach, and without suspecting him of misrepresentation, he assumes that Eino Chinami, this shliach was appointed by the Baal as a shliach, by the Isha, excuse me, as a shliach lekabol. And in this case, says Rav, that she is not megureshes. This is not a valid gerushin. Kosmi monavshach. If the shliach were to serve as a shliach lekabolah, that's impossible. That's invalid because she, the Isha, never appointed him as such. If, on the other hand, he is meant to serve as a shliach lo'olacha, well, that's also invalid. That's also not possible because the Baal never appointed him as a shliach lo'olacha, because when he said the Baal declared Hela Kamosha Amra, he assumed, in all naivete, relying totally on the word of the shliach, that the shliach was already appointed by the Isha as a shliach lekabbalah. The Baal never took the extra step to appoint the shliach as a shliach le'olacha. In Shamat Mina, what we see from this is Adibura Didei Kasamich. That when the Baal says Kibosha Amra, he relies with total trust on the words of the shliach. In this case, the shliach presented himself as the shliach like Abola. The Baal never bothered to present, to assign the task, or shall we say, appoint the shliach as his shliach leholacha. And Mimarashach, he's not a shliach. He's not a shliach leisha, shliach kabal. He's not a shliach lebaal, he's a shliach leholacha. And if the get is invalid. Now, if we derive the conclusion in our case, applying the same rules to the agent who said to the workers that he had heard from the employer that the employer was willing to pay no more than 3 zuzim, and the response of the workers is Kimo Sha'omar, right? That was the Kimo Sha'omar Balabais, which means that you're telling me accurately, because again, we see from Get that the Baal relies on what the Shliach says. Here too, the workers, the Polim, are relying totally, but with absolute blind faith, on what the Shliach said. And this agent is now telling them that they're being hired at the rate of 3 zuzim, and that's exactly what they assumed they would be paying, and they agreed to those wages. And therefore they have no claim against the Baal Bayis for 4 zuzim, even though in fact the Baal Bayis was willing to pay the extra 4th zuz. The Gemara clarifies, the Isal Kedatu Dadibur Dida Kasamich, if what the Baal was saying when he said Hela Kamosha Amra, as she said, I don't trust you, I want to know what she said. And if she asked that I appoint you as a shliach leholacha, then that should be a valid appointment of the shliach as a shliach leholacha. Then mechimati gita liyada, when the get comes to our hands, meaning if the shliach delivers the get into our hands, miha, in any event, tigaresh, the gerishin should be valid. And the reason for that is because since she was asking through the shliach that the Baal appoint the shliach as a shliach lo'olacha, if the Baal was relying on her statement, on her declaration, then the Baal, in effect, had appointed this shliach as his shliach lo'olacha, and therefore when she receives the get, she would be megureshes. But Rav says, even when she receives the get, she's not megureshes. And the obvious conclusion, therefore, is that Adibura Didei Kasamach, that the Baal is totally reliant on the statement of the Shliach, trusting him with blind faith, that he was appointed by the Isha as he presented himself, misrepresented himself, as a Shliach LeKabbalah. And therefore the Baal never appointed the Shliach as a Shliach LeLacha. Amar Rav Ashi said, and here we go on to Daf, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Hachi Hashta. Rav Ashi says the following. If we would change a few of the variables, you know, if we tighten the screws in a different direction, then your comparison, your toshma, would be appropriate, and we could indeed derive conclusions by this analogy to get. However, that's not the case. This is not comparable to the framework of our sugya of the Paulim, who said Kamosha Amar Balabais. Why? Bishlemi Mar, let's sort of rewrite the text a little bit. Let's be flexible. Ibcha, let's turn it around the other way. And then everything would be understood and we'd have a perfect analogy. Let's say that Rav Nachman was addressing a case where the Isha said to the Baal, to the Shliach, his kabel li giti, please accept the get on my behalf. In other words, she had appointed him, the Shliach, as a Shliach le kabbalah. And then the Shliach appears in front of the Baal and says, quote, the Ishtacha Amra have li gita. And basically the way that the Shliach presented himself, he was being sent, according to his claim, by the Isha as a candidate for the Baal to appoint him as his, meaning him, the Shliach, as his, the Baal's Shliach le holacha. In such a case, for hu omer helik Moshe Amra, if the Baal said to the Shliach, you know what? This is what you should do, you know, that serve in the role that you were meant to serve in by the commission of the Isha, the Omer of Nachman, Omer of Rav Baravu, Omer Rav, and again the same tradition that Rav Mishiagia get liyada megureshes, that the get would be valid once it reaches the hands of the Isha, then we could derive Alma da adibura dida kasamech, which means that Mishagia get liyado megureshes. In other words, once the get reaches the hand of the shliach, because again, if adibura didaka samech, that's what the Gemara is trying to advocate now, the Baal relies totally on what the Isha actually said, and he's not trusting the shliach who appeared and he said he wants to be appointed as a shliach lolacha. But rather he relies upon the Isha, who appointed the Shliach, in fact, as a Shliach LeKabbalah. And then Mishagia get liyado megureshes makes absolute sense, that the very moment the get is received by the Shliach, insofar as he's the Yad of the Isha, representing her as a Shliach LeKabbalah, she is immediately at that moment megureshes. That would be Adibura Dida Ka Samach. That would be a perfect analogy. Inami, there's another way that we can rewrite the text of Rav Nachman, which would also give us a proof. Mishiagia get liyada megureshes. If Rav Nachman had said in the name of Rav that this get would be valid and the gerush would be chal the moment the get reached the hands of the Isha, Alma, that would prove to us the adibura dideka samich, that the Baal is not relying on what the Isha said, but he has total faith in the Shliach himself. And therefore he appoints the Shliach, as the Shliach presents himself, to be a candidate, to be appointed by the Baal as the Shliach Lolocha. And once the get is received by the Isha through this courier, this carrier called the Shliach Lolocha, then she would be Megureshes. And that would prove Adibura Didei Kasamach, that the Baal, when he said Hela Kavosha Amra, was relying on what the agent said, what the Shliach actually said, the way he reported the words of the Isha, meaning that he, the Shliach, should be appointed by the Baal as the Shliach Lolocha. So we would have, if we again rewrote the or reformulated the text of Rav Nachman in one of two ways, we would have a clear-cut proof, one direction or the other, with regard to the question of Adibura Didei, Adibura Dida, was he relying on the Shliach? Was he in fact not trusting the Shliach and wants to know what did the Isha in fact say and how did she formulate? Did she commission him as a Shliach LeKabbalah? Did she not commission him as a Shliach LeKabbalah? We would have a perfect proof and an analogy from the Sugin Gittin. Elahasam. But that's not the case that Rav Nachman was addressing. In the case that Rav Nachman was addressing, where the Isha sent the Shliach to the Baal to be appointed by the Baal as a Shliach leholacha, is there, the get is invalid for another reason. Mishum di akar shliach l'shlichusoi legamrei. In other words, the shliach completely undermined his status as a shliach. That's a whole new halacha. Di amar lei shliach l'kabbalah avinu. Because in effect, when he fabricated and misrepresented the commission that he got from the Isha, saying, you know what, I am a shliach l'kabbalah, that's what he said to the Baal, then it means, by implication, lo locha lo avina. I'm not willing to serve in the capacity as a shliach lo locha. And that's why Rav Nachman, in the name of Rav, rules that this get is not valid. Even if the get is received by the Isha eventually, it doesn't matter, because the shliach mimonav shach, as we said before, the shliach himself is not serving as a shliach lekabol, because when he makes the statement that ishtecha amra hiskabel li giti, in effect he is now being mafkia himself as a shliach lo halacha, and the isha from her part never appointed him as a shliach lekabol. So mimonav shach, I mean, he was not appointed as shliach lekabolah. He refuses to play the role and fill the capacity of shliach lo locha, and therefore he was mafki himself from shlichus. That's why the get could never be chal. But that's not relevant to our discussion about the agent who hires these workers, and therefore we have no pshitus. We're not able to come to any definite conclusion as far as our original question. So again, just to reiterate, if in fact the case were a different case than Rav Nachman's case, that the Isha had appointed the Shliach as her Shliach LeKabbalah, and the Shliach came to the Baal and he misrepresented himself as a candidate to be a Shliach Lo Locha, then we would understand that if the Baal was not trusting the Shliach, but rather was saying Kamo Sha'amra, meaning as she had appointed you, in this case it would be a Shliach L'Kabbalah, then the get would be valid. If on the other hand the Baal is saying I trust you, the get is invalid because he never appointed the Shliach as a Shliach L'Holacha, as the Shliach himself presented himself. That would have been fine. But in the case of Rav Nachman, where the shliach appeared in front of the Baal, and he said his kabali giti, ishtachomer his kabali giti, which means he misrepresented himself. She had never appointed him as a shliach lekabbalah. He presented himself as if he were a shliach lekabbalah. Then mimonav shach, forgetting about whether adibur dida, forget about all that. In this particular case, I can already predict up front the ultimate results. And that is that the shliach would not be able to serve as an agent for gerushin, because mimonav shach, she did not appoint him as, even if she had appointed him as shliach kabbalah, it's irrelevant. He never accepted that role as a shliach lekabbalah. Correct? And the Baal, from his point of view, did not appoint him as a shliach lo locha. And go even one step further, even if the Baal would have wanted to appoint him as a shliach lo locha, the agent himself, by virtue of his own statement, declared in not so many words, I refuse to serve as a shliach lo locha. That's why he fabricated the words of the Isha, and he said, "Is kabbali giti, I'm serving as a shliach lekabol." So Rav Nachman's final psak, that if the Isha told him to bring the get to her, and he, the shliach, presented himself as a shliach lekabbalah, in such a case, there certainly is no, that's what Rav Ash is pointing out, there's no room here for validating the get, because the very moment that he fabricated what the woman said, he indicates that he is mafkia himself from serving in the capacity as a shliach lekabbalah. That's not what he wants to do. And I'm sorry, she didn't appoint him as a shliach lekabbalah, and by stating that he is a shliach lekabbalah, he declared in so many words that he's not willing to serve as a shliach leholacha. So even if I would grant you that the husband meant to appoint him as a shliach lo locha, it wouldn't be relevant in this case. That's more or less what we have in the sugya so far. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, if you recall, said, Hitu ze et ze, Elohim ela tarovus. And originally, the Gemara back on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph had rejected the possibility that we're talking about a case where the Balabais had deceived his workers, the Paulim, or the Paulim had deceived the Balabais, meaning that either the Balabais wanted to fire them prematurely, or they wanted to be fired or fire themselves and renege on the agreement prematurely. And now the Gemara at this point is, and therefore that forced the Gemara to introduce the agent who's in the middle, and that's the Hitu Zedzeh. But at this point the Gemara wants to revisit the possibility that Hitu Zedzeh has something to do with the Baal Bais and the Pol. Ibais Amos says the Gemara, perhaps the Mishnah is dealing with a Taus that was Hitu Zedzeh. Bahai Tana Chazru Nami Hitu Karile. When the Tana, the Mishnah, uses the terminology Hitu Zedzeh, what it really means is Chazru. That too is a kind of deception, because since in the context of the original agreement there was going to be work for a full day, and one of them reneged, whether it's the Baal Bais or the Paulim, that's also a kind of Hitu Zedzeh, but it really means Chazru Zedzeh. And now the Gemara wants to prove that as a general rule, the word hitu could really mean chazru. The sanya we learned in Ebraisa, hasocher es ha'umnim, v'hitu es balabayis, o balabayis hita osam, elem zelze elataromes. Here's a case which explicitly addresses a reneging of the agreement, of the commitment on the part of either the balabayis or the poel, in this case the uman. And Ein Lahem Zelze Elitarovas, so the word Hitu is being used as a substitute for Chazru. Now let's just reiterate what we've already studied in the past as to why Ein Lahem Zelze Elitarovas. And the reason for that is because in either case, each one has a tie against the other one. Let's say, for example, the workers flew the coop midday, they could always say to the Baal Bais, you know what, replace us, find other workers to finish the job. We started the job and you finished the job. Or the other way around, the Baal Bais could say to the Paulin, to the Umdin, go find yourself another employer. You know, I'm not the only employer on the market, so you have good work to do, you have capabilities, go find yourself a job. And therefore it's only Taromis. Now, the Braisa goes a little bit further in detailing the specifics and limiting this rule of Ein Lahem Zelzel Taromis. Bamed Varma Murim. When does this rule apply? Shelo Holchu. What does this mean, Shelo Holchu? Let's read a little bit further in the Gemara. Aval Holchu. Chamarim v'lo matzu tvua, polim umatzu sadek shilacha, nosein lahem scharam mishalim. Now what's going on over here? We said until now that if, let's say, the workers, to their chagrin, are not being given work, and the Baal Bais says, I have no work for you, go fly the coop, and he fires them midday, all they have against the Baal Bais is taromis. And on that, the Braisa adds a limitation clause. That's only the case of Shelo Holchu. In other words, from the perspective of the workers, they didn't start the job in any shape or form. They didn't even go out to the Sadeh and make that trek in such a way that they've already begun their day's work. So at this point, the Baal Bais says, sorry, no work for you. They didn't begin their work in any sense, and therefore they will have to find other work. And all they have against the Baal Bais is Taromis. Now, the Rush is of the opinion here that the issue here is not so much whether they traveled and took this halicha out to the field, but really the determining issue here is to determine whether or not the Baal Bayis has to pay them a full wage. Is it feasible, given the market conditions, that they could find other work? Even if they didn't travel out to the Sadeh, if at the point of time when the Baal Bayis told them to fly the coop and he's no longer able to find work for them, they could not find other work, then the Baal Bayis would have to compensate them for their day's work. It's only the Ramban who assumes that this halacha of halicha is a representation of a kinyan, a binding kinyan, that clinches the agreement and makes it irreversible, meaning the commitment of the Baal Bayis to pay the day's wages are now irreversible. But given, you know, leaving the Ramban on the side for a minute, that this halicha serves as a kinyan, which is a gewaldige chiddush of the Ramban, if we go with the other Rishonim, the Rush and Tosfos seems to also indicate this direction. The halicha is just a, if you want to call it a symbol or a, what word can I use? It's a means of communication to communicate the idea, well, can the Poland find other work? And if, on the other hand, halchu, and the Brisa gives a few examples of that, let's say, for example, we're talking about chamorim, right? The chamorim, miloshen chamor, the drivers, you know, the donkey drivers, and they have to transport whatever they have to transport, and they didn't find anything to transport. In such a case, since they invested themselves in this work, again, if you take it literally, it means that there was a kinyan and they went out to the site wherever the grain should be located, the pickup station. Or alternatively, if you take the Rush's pshat, that it was so late in the game that they couldn't find anyone else to hire them for that day's work. Now the Brisa gives another case, another scenario, where the Poalim went out to do what's called Harisha, and Harisha is only possible when the land is dry, and they went out there and they found, to their chagrin, lo and behold, the land is not suitable, it's wet, it's damp, it's not suitable for Harisha. In such a case, no sein lehem schar mishalem, which means the Baal Bayis has to pay, as per the agreement, a full day of wages. The Poalim are in a vulnerable position where they can't find alternative work, and therefore they're out on the street. They won't be able to, you know, support their families. So the Baal Bayis, insofar as he made a commitment to pay them a day's wages, he has to live up to that commitment and pay them. Now what we're going to soon see is, what does he have to pay them? Does he have to pay the full wages? I mean, after all, they're not doing a stitch of work. The field is not royal l'charisha. In any event, the Brisa goes on to say, "Aval eino dome habar ton lebar reikom." They didn't do the actual work, and you cannot compare them to someone who actually did the labor. Again, they went out to the destination, to the location, but they ended up without doing any work. You cannot compare them to an osem alocha, to someone who actually does the labor. They are liyoshev ubatel, they're sitting inactively. So they don't deserve full wages. They didn't actually, you know, do the tircha and the avoda here, and therefore they will not have to be paid the full work. And this is going to be the concept of kipoel batel, and we'll have to get into this whole question of exactly how to determine what wages they do have rights to receive. Let's take a look for a moment at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Bi Avol Imholchu. This is the third of the wide lines. Rashi says, Imholchu Eitzal Amolocha, Kigonim chamorim heim shesochram lahavi lo tfuah mimakom achir v'holchu v'lo matzu. Omim heim polim heim sochrim le'ader Okay, Rashi learns not the case of Harisha as much as the case of the Idur, which is called in English Hoing, very similar to Harisha. And he says, V'holchu matzu sadashi lacha b'mayim v'einu ru'i le'yo. There no sein lehem scharam shal kol ayom mishalem k'fisha roi lehem k'nefarsh v'yosil. How much is the appropriate salary, the wage they should be paid, when in fact they did no work whatsoever, they sat idly on that day? And Rashi says, Omdim esachamorim. We have to do an evaluation and estimation. Kama adam rotze lefachos mischaro al osa derech leba rekam mi leba tovin. Compare two figures, two variables. Number one is how much he would be paid for the full work with all the labor involved. And number two, how much would he subtract? Would he be willing to receive a lower wage in a case where they don't have to do the work at all, they could be idle. And that's what we're going to pay him, that's kapol bata. So basically the poel is offering a certain discount price because he's not doing work. And the question is, how much is that discrepancy? Let's say he'd be eager to receive at least 100 if he was doing the labor. If he's not doing the labor, he'd be willing to take a reduction of 30 or 40, so let him be paid 60. That's kapol bata. Now, again, this case is where the Balabais was the one who pulled back. And later on, we're going to have the reverse case. What happens if the Poel is the one who reverses, and he wants to pull out? In any event, let's go on in the Braisa. Until now, we've been talking about a Poel. And the Braisa says, "Bameh dvar mamurim, when do we assume that it's taromes ishlo hischilu bimalacha, aval hischilu bimalacha shomin lahem masha asu," which means that, let's say, for example, the polim have not begun their work yet. Okay, so then we can talk about what we said before, a poel has no, if he hasn't started the work yet, he has no claim except for taromes. But let's say on the other side, says the Braisa, so let's suggest a scenario where the poel has already begun his work. He was assigned a certain job and he already began the job. That's called hischilu b'malacha. And here the din changes. Shomin lahem masha asu. If at some point, midway through the work, the employer, the Baal Bayis, cuts them out and he says, "I don't want to pay you, you're fired." Again, he has no serious basis for firing them. Is then he has to pay them masha asu, which would probably mean he has to pay them commensurate to the amount of work that they did. So let's say they did a half a day's work instead of a day's work, and instead of paying him 100 for the day, he'll pay him 50 for the day. Ketzad. Kiblu kama liktzar b'shnei slayim. The job was to harvest an entire kama. An entire kama means all the grains that were standing in a certain specific limited area, and they would be paid for that 2 slayim. Now, sela is 4 dinrim, so we're talking about wages of 8 dinrim if they finish the entire job. However, they only did half of the ktsira. Is then in such a case they'll get paid half, which would mean 4 dinrim or 1 sela. Same thing would apply in a beged larog b'shnei slayim. In order to weave the entire beged, they would be paid 2 slayim. And argu chetzio v'enichu chetzio, they only accomplished half of the job, so they wove half of the garment. Is shomen lehem es masha os. They'll be paid commensurate to their work, which means that since they did half the job, they'll receive half the pay. Haya yafes shisha dinrim. So let's say, for example, the labor would be shisha dinrim. Now we'll have to see exactly where this number shisha dinrim came in. Let's hold that for just a minute. is then Nosein Lahem Sela, which is for Dinrim. Now, the obviously the case, as Rashi explains it, that all of a sudden Yofesh Isha Dinrim would mean that the market price of Paulim, of labor, appreciated. And now the labor that they performed, which is now in the current market, would be evaluated at Shisha Dinrim. The agreement was to pay them only 4 Dinrim, is Nosein Lahem Sela. The Baal Bayis doesn't have to add the 2 Dinrim. Why? Because they signed an agreement, so to speak. There was a contractual agreement to pay them 2 Slaim, which is 8 Dinrim, and therefore they'll be paid for after work 4 Dinrim, even though now, to finish the job, it would cost, and they could receive 6 Dinrim. And now the Baal Bayis will say to them, look, O Yigmaru Malachton V'yitlu Shnei Slaim, I'll give you another option. You can finish the job, and I'll pay the full wage, as we agreed, namely 2 Dinrim. But, I'm sorry, 2 Slaim, which is 8 Dinrim. But I'm not going to pay you on the higher value because we had an agreement. V'im Sela, but if the work that they implemented already has a market value of a Sela, Nosein Lahem Sela, then the Baal Bayis gives them a Sela. So in other words, before we get to Rav Dosa, who's going to argue at this point, the Chachamim are of the opinion that they will be paid for half the job if they performed half the job, and the fact that the price of labor has appreciated, they don't have any rights now to demand more than what they did, meaning if the second half is now going to cost, is going to be valued at 6 dinrim, they have no recourse to collect 6 dinrim. They can only collect 4 dinrim for the work that they did. Rabbi Dosa Omer, however, according to Rabbi Dosa, Shomen Lahem Masha Asid Lehe Asas. In other words, the Baal Bayis now, in order to get the second half of the job done, he's going to have to pay a higher price because the market value of labor has appreciated. Now it's going to cost him 6 dinrim. He has the right, therefore, the Baal Bayis, to subtract the 6 dinrim for the original 8 dinrim and only pay them 2 dinrim for the first half of the job. Haya yofesh shisha dinrim, which means that to finish the second half of the job is going to cost the Baal Bayis 6 dinrim, is nosein lahem shekel. He will pay only 2 dinrim. And basically, what Rabbi Dosa is arguing is that since the work can be finished up with 2 slaim or 8 dinners, then the employer, I should say, only has to pay the original price. It means that according to Rabbi Dosa, the Baal Bayis, the employer, has the right to deduct wages, you know, hold back wages, so to speak, in order to finish the job. And the Gemara gives this example of Rabbi Dosa, of applying Rabbi Dosa's rule to the case where the amount of money that's needed to hire a worker at this particular rate today to finish the last half of the job is shisha dinrim. So then the total amount that the Baal Bayis is going to have to pay is only shmona dinrim, is only 8 dinrim, because the original agreement was 2 slaim, which is 8 dinrim. And therefore, he's going to pay them 2 dinars instead of 4 dinars for a half a job. They were hired at 8 dinar for the whole job. He's going to pay them instead of 4 dinar, 2 dinars, because now he's going to have to shell out of pocket another 2 dinars to have the job finished. Again, this is logically applicable, according to Rav Dosa, in the case where the workers decided to terminate the agreement. And now the Baal HaBayis has a right to turn to the Polim and say, look, if you decide to complete the job, then you collect the original 8 dinarim. So in other words, which is 2 slavim, in other words, instead of being cut down to 2 dinarim, which is 1/4 for half the job, you can get the full payment. And then he says, v'im sela. Now let's say, according to the appreciated value of the... I'm sorry. Now let's say the market price for workers to finish the job is a sela, then no sin lehem sela, which is fine, because the original agreement was 2 slavim, they did half the job, they'll get a sela. That's okay. I mean, that last statement in the Braisa seems to be totally superfluous, and the Gemara later on is going to ask the question, why did the Braisa have to teach us this? In any event, there's an element here in Rav Dosa of compensation. If, again, it was the workers who flew the coop and they violated their original commitment. Now, if we want to turn it around and talk about a reverse case where it was the Baal HaBayis who, instead of living up to his commitment, he fires them midway, then once again we're going to have to sort of take into consideration the fluctuation of the market value of labor, and we're going to do it in the way that's Yadu al Tachtona, where the Baal HaBayis is going to be, you know, least advantageous. But that we'll see in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later on. Now the Braisa points out Bamed Var Mamurim, in other words, when in this case do we say that since the Paulim decided that they don't want to complete the job and they don't have any liability, in other words, they'll be paid corresponding to what work they did, unless again there was an appreciation of the value, that's only B'dover She'eino Avud, something which the Baal HaBayis will not lose anything if the work will take a break and it'll take him a week or so to find replacement workers. But if it's something that's time urgent and has to be done immediately, in such a case, then, you know, in order to find other workers in that desperate situation, you may have to pay an exorbitant rate. And in that case, socher alehem omat'on. What it means is he's going to have to pay, because he's desperate, he's going to have to pay workers at a higher rate. And now the Paulim themselves, insofar as they reneged on their agreement, they have to make up the difference and pay the replacement workers. Oh, matan, or there's a heter here for the Baal HaBayis to trick the workers and just bluff and tell them, you know, I'm going to pay you an exorbitant amount to finish the job, when in fact he doesn't have to do that. Ketzad matan, what does it mean he tricks them? Omer lehem sela katzatzti lachem. He can say that, you know, originally I was going to pay you a sela bo utlushtaim, you know, I'm going to double your wages. The adkama socher alehem, if they, the workers decide that we don't want to finish the job, and now the Baal HaBayis is going to have to pay some ridiculous amount of money because the davar of it, it's time crucial and urgent that the job be finished. Otherwise, he'll suffer a tremendous loss. So he's going to pay out of desperation at very high rate wages for the replacement. Adkama, how far do they go? You know, what the workers have to pay out of pocket here in order to hire replacement workers. And the Braisa says, ad arba'im v'chamishim zuz, 40 or 50 zuz. That's an exorbitant amount of money. And that's what's going to be paid for a day's work. Now, imagine, the original agreement was for 3 or 4 dinrim. Now it goes up to 40 or 50 dinrim. That's an exorbitant price. And that's the way it goes. Now, the Rambam says that's how we understand the Gemara. The Ramban is of the opinion that the 40 or 50 dirham is representative of what the Baal Bais would likely have to pay in a situation of desperate, you know, to avoid and fend off a tremendous loss. And therefore, the Ramban says the 40 or 50 dinarim here mentioned in the Gemara is just a, you know, it's not definitive. It's not dafka. The employer just simply will hire workers at whatever rate it takes in order to do the task. And what, you know, it makes sense that it's some sort of a payment that would correspond to the potential loss that he might suffer if the job is not done immediately. And that's as far as the first part of the Braisa is concerned. But now the Braisa goes on and says, look, if there's a time critical situation of a Dover Avud, he says, Bamedvar Mamurim, do we always automatically absolutely grant the Baal Bais those rights to charge the Paulim for whatever exorbitant rate? He says, Bizman She'ein Sham Paulim Liskar, because there are no workers around or available in close proximity at the going rate of Alim Yesham Paulim Liskar. Is V'yomar Tseu Schar Me'elu, you know, the Baal Bais decides that he wants to hire these workers at the exorbitant rate, and on the other hand, the Paulim, who cut out midway, they say Tseu Schar Me'elu, go hire these regular workers. Is Elo Alem El Taromas, in such a case, since there are workers available, the Baal Bais will not have recourse to spend an exorbitant amount and bill the Paulim. Again, he has a claim against the Paulim, that's called Taromes, because they had no right to renege on their commitment, on their agreement. But in any event, he cannot force them to pay this exorbitant amount, since there are workers who are available who are willing to be paid and accept the reasonable going rate. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to know, Tani Tana Kama de Rav, when this Braisa was taught in the presence of Rav, Nosin Lehem Schara Mishalem, that if the Paulim had already done the Halicha, they came out to the place of the work, and lo and behold, there was no work for them, then they have to be paid full wages as per the original agreement. Amar Lei. And the response here of Rav was, Chavivi Omar, my uncle Reb Chia, said, Ilu ana havoi, if I was the Baal Bais, lo avi yahivna lahem elikapol batel, I would only pay them the rate of a poel batel. The at amrit nosin lahem scharam mishalem, are you telling me this, that according to this Braisa, they have to, the employer has to pay the full wages? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, I heard from Rabbi Chia, and his logic is compelling, that there should be some sort of a change in their wages concerning the fact that they're not performing the work. And that's called Kipoel Batel. So the Gemara now tries to reconcile this Braisa of Kipoel of Schar Mishalem with Poel Batel of Rab Chia. And the Gemara says, "Va Allah Tani," because the Braisa says, "Eino Doma Haba Taun Laba Rekam Osem Malach LiYoshev Batel." So at this point, the Braisa has, in effect, it reinterpreted itself, or sort of clarified its own position. And what did the Braisa have in mind when it says Scharon Nosalem Schar Mishalem? It means he cannot compare the situation of somebody who, you know, who schleps grains, you know, that weigh a ton, to someone who comes with nothing in his basket. You know, we must consider the fact that he's not doing any work over here, or osem malach liyoshev batel. You know, someone who's active as opposed to someone who's sitting there inactive and he's doing nothing. So the Poland do not have the right to receive the original schirus, the original schar pu'ula the wages that we were agreed for the assigned job. And therefore, the Gemara says, don't assume, Rav, that this brisa is a stira to Rav Chiya. And the Gemara answers, lo saimua kameh. When the brisa was presented to Rav, they only gave him the first part of the brisa, namely schara mishalim, but they didn't add the end of the brisa, in which the brisa clarifies what it said, and therefore Rav thought that this brisa was telling us they get the they have rights to the original wages. Others say saimua kameh, even though they presented to Rav the entire brisa in its entirety. Hachi kamar, what Rav says and what he meant to say is chavivi amar I havi ana lo havi yehivnu le klal fiat amrit kipol batel, which means that the workers would not receive any wages whatsoever. And that's a very difficult position. Why would Rav Chiya say that he, if he would be the Baal Bayis, the employer, he would not pay any of the wages at all to the workers? And apparently this is called Mazlei Gorem, which is a principle that's going to come up over and over again in the Sugya Sira Nasocher Sa'umnin, namely that what happened was the rain came down from the heavens, and it's not the fault of the Baal Bayis that there's no work for the pole, meaning that the field, the ground is too damp for hoeing or for plowing. The Paul, and when they accepted the job from the get-go, they should have realized, taking into consideration the possibility that there won't be any work for them. And therefore, not only does the worker, in this case, as Rav Chiya, have no right to get full pay and demand wages, but moreover, they can't be paid, they can't demand any sort of a payment, even the payment of a Paul Bartel. Because if the rains came down and made the field damp, and if it was impossible to do the work, that's the problem of the Paul. Maybe it was their mazel that was goreim. Elakashahach. But now we're left with this brisa that soser Rabbi Chiya, because the brisa insists that the polim are paid. Lokasha ha desire li ara mi deurta ha delo sire li ara mi urta. What does it mean? The Baal Bayis has to offer the polim the opportunity, and the polim should, they'll be well advised to take advantage of this opportunity, to check out the situation before they actually begin their work. And Rabbi Chiya's statement that the Baal Bayis does not have to pay a dime to the polim, that's a case where the polim went out to the field, that's called Sairi Li'ara. They took, so to speak, a tour of the site, of the work site. They inspected the situation the night before. And at that point, the polim have to realize for themselves that you never know what's going to be the situation tomorrow as far as this field is concerned. Is it Roy L'Charisha? Is it not Roy L'Charisha? That's something that they become aware of the very moment that they were Sairi Li'ara. And they should make an evaluation and judge the situation, realize that it could be that it's damp, or it could be there's an evening downpour. And therefore, at that point, the Baal Bayis has right to say, look, I have no negligence on my part. There's no pshia here. You yourself saw the situation and you understood that there's a certain iffy nature to the work, to the employment. There may be work, there may not be work. Where is the case of the brisa? Ha delo sairi li'ara mi'urta. In other words, the brisa is talking about a case where the Baal Bayis and certainly the polim did not go out to the site on the previous evening to investigate the possibilities here. So the polim, in a sense, are not in any way responsible. You know, they were hired to do a job. They had no clue that this was an iffy situation. It was the pshia of the Baal Bayis for not telling them. It was his responsibility to tell them, look, it could be the land will be suitable for plowing. It could be it won't be suitable for cultivation. And that he did not do. And therefore, since he did not offer the possibility of their investigating land, or alternatively, he didn't tell them about what they should have in mind, they assumed that they were guaranteed work. And therefore, the Braisa insists that the Baal Bayis has to pay them. Ki ha diomar Rava. And the Gemara now tells tells over a formulation or a horah of Rava. Haiman di agra giri l'rivka. For example, if you hire workers to create an irrigation system by digging into the ground around the field in such a way that the waters will now bring, you know, will go through these ditches and bring sustenance to the field. The Asa Mitra Umalia Maya, and the rainpour came down and downpour, and as a result, these ditches were filled with water, which means, or I should say, that the field is filled with water, and therefore there's no possibility of digging ditches in the wet rain. Isairi Liarami Urta, if in fact the Baal Bayis and the Polim had inspected the land and checked out the situation beforehand, and therefore the Polim should have realized this possibility that it might rain and they're ending up with no work. In effect, the Baal Bayis has communicated this iffiness and this doubt as to whether or not there will be work, is say to the Polim, the workers accepted this agreement knowing full well that they may or may not be working and may or may not be collecting wages. And here we are turning to Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph Seder de Paul. But lo sairi li arami urta, if on the other hand the workers did not check out the land the night before, and the Baal Bayis didn't take them to see the land, or didn't even explain to them about the questionable nature of the work, whether it's guaranteed or not, say to the Baal Bayis, then it becomes a negligence of the Baal Bayis, and he has to pay them for their work. And again, not for the work they actually did, but how much would you pay for the hours or the time period in which they are idle? And that's called Kipoel Batel. So now we're on the top of the Tafayin Zayin Amud Aleph, Mirtz Shem, and next year we'll pick it up from here.